You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Tuesday's action on this edition. You'll hear us all live on Racing Radio from 12:20pm with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Paddy Aspel and Andrew Mount. We have jumping from Bangor-on-Dee and Musselburgh, accompanied by All Weather Racing on the Tapeter at Newcastle. So three meetings to get stuck into, and joining me in the studio to do so is Mr. Sean Quinn. How are you, Sean?
I'm very, very well, thank you, Mark. How are you?
Very well indeed. Happy New Year to you. Did you have a good New Year's Eve?
I had a quiet New Year's Eve. I went to a party, but I've been a bit under the weather, Mark. So just haven't been on my A game, which is probably good because I'm starting to come out of it now and I'm feeling pretty normal, which most people mightn't be feeling. Today's still a bank holiday, Monday, of course. We're recording this and plenty of the country will be under a little bit of a cloud for different reasons, I'd imagine.
Yeah, thankfully, I didn't have a New Year hangover.
Did you not?
No, I didn't. And they had like 7 light beers, so what's that, two?
Beers? Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it was.
I have to remember that the next time I want 7 or 8 beers, I'll just have 27 light beers.
Yeah, exactly.
Mark says it's the equivalent, so yeah. It'll be fine.
That's my tactic, anyway. That's how I try and get away with it. We'll talk about New Year's Day as well, before we get stuck into some of Tuesday's action. Good card at Cheltenham, very good way to see in the new year. One of the big winners on the card was Whisper. We can hear from Nicky Henderson. Catherine Fry got a quote from him while she was at Cheltenham, so we'll hear his thoughts on Whisper's performance and then we'll have a little bit of a chat on the back of it.
You know, he was missing all last year. Couldn't do anything with him at all. And, you know, it was... You couldn't explain anything. He was rubbish, in the nicest possible way. He's never rubbish. I love it. I really do, because he's always been such a game horse. Yeah. And you know, see, it was very unlike him. But nothing happened at all, and we had a lot of soul searching between ourselves. And you know, said, okay, he's got to go and try. We scored him. He had one run of offences a year ago, wasn't it, at Exeter, and got beaten. So he's actually had 3 runs, believe it or not. But when he got beaten in a novice chase, was it last year or the year before? When things were going wrong, you know, I mean, he should have won by a minute. But, you know, he's won those 2 Aintree hurdles and all sorts of races, and he's just tough and game and a real friend. We like the old boys that come back. And it's great when they do, isn't it? You know, and it feels like he's been around a long time, and yet he's novice chasing. He's great.
So what's the plan now?
Look, he's going to have to come into the JLT sort of thing, isn't he? I would think.
Another 3-miler.
He gets 3. I'd like to talk to Davey. He gets on with him really well. He's such a lovely style of riding, isn't it? Just put his hand down and let the horse do what he... You're not going to teach this horse anything at this age. And he just lets him do his own thing, and I think the horse is loving it. I have to say, I think he gets on with him really, really well.
So Nicky Henderson sounding pretty pleased with the performance of Whisper there, pleased with Davey Russell as well, and mentioned the JLT as the possible target, Sean. 12-1 for the JLT novices chase at the festival. Could you see him playing a part there?
I'm not so sure I could. I thought yesterday his hardiness and his nous won the day over Clandes Obo, who made that mistake 2 out, and that really cost him. Whisper was able to get momentum, get a lead. And in truth, once Whisper gets past you, you're not going to get past him because he is so hardy. Clandes Obo's mistake did cost him.
Yeah.
Connections have done a really good job with him, though, to get him back. He's now 2 from 2 this season. He mightn't be showing the same level of form he was showing, say, 2 years ago when he was beating Cole Harden in the likes of the, I think it's called the Liverpool hurdle, the 3-mile race at the Grand National meeting. But it's great to see that at the age of 9 he still has plenty of fire in his belly, and he's sure to give connections plenty more good days out. Whether I see him as a likely winner of the JLT, no, I don't.
Okay. Yeah, as I say, he's 12-1. Clandes Elbow is 10-1. Klenzober has younger legs on his side. And as you mentioned, there was that little error two out where if that hadn't happened, you never know, the result could have been different. So.
Certainly bookmakers feel that, given that he's 2 points shorter than Whisper and suffered a defeat to him.
Yeah. Plenty of others much shorter in the market who you'd said have a good chance if they progress as well, the likes of York Hill and Altior and so on and so forth. So still a long way off as well, isn't it? So we won't get bogged down by the JLT too much. Anything else stand out to you at Cheltenham on New Year's Day before we have a quick flick through the Racing Post Monday, Jory?
No, I thought it was great to see Willie Twist and Davis riding back over... over hurdles and enjoy such a good success aboard Cogri for his father. I know Willie, he's a pal of mine and he's a nice guy and a good rider. He's done well to keep his weight down on the flat in recent years, and now that he's going jumping, he's lucky he's going to have the support of his father. But he showed yesterday that he's more than up to the task, and he got Cogri into a lovely rhythm. The horse jumped very well for him and battled back to beat Rocklander. It was just a real heartwarming sight and good to see. Of course, Lizzie Kelly probably stole the show with her double for her stepfather, Nick Williams, with the Kustar Civilla in the first race. The listed hurdle Agripart was good in the rail keel. He confirmed that he's very, very good when conditions get testing.
Yep.
There was talk of the Stayers hurdle afterwards. Certainly in a soft ground Stayers hurdle, he'd be of interest to Agripart, where if it dried up like Cheltenham can do in March time, Mark, I wouldn't be surprised to see Connections maybe try and head for France in a bid to plummet a prize. Of course, they've done a similar thing with the likes of Rev de Civilla in the past, and they might have a ready-made replacement in Agripart.
Yeah, so that's New Year's Day then at Cheltenham. Just a quick flick through these questions in the Racing Post Monday, Jory, and then we'll get stuck into Tuesday's racing. The first question is surrounding Thistlecrack. So, Gold Cup, can you see past Thistlecrack in the Blue Ribbon event at the festival?
Granted that he stands up, I don't think you can. He's definitely he definitely has the biggest engine of the staying chasers, and his King George performance last week was simply breathtaking. I don't think we can say any more about the performance than has already been said. So I do think he'll win the Gold Cup, yes. Would I back him at 4-5? No. Because there are so many obstacles to overcome, and it is still, 2.5 months away. There's plenty of water to pass under the bridge. You've got last year's winner, Don Cossack, still in the picture, although we've yet to see him this season. Coney Gree, the winner 2 years ago, won't run before the Gold Cup, but Connections are still hopeful that he'll get to the Gold Cup. So he does have to defeat the past two champions in the race. And he's got another improver from his own yard in Native River, who's the second favourite with us at 7-1, who's a fast improving horse and has only just turned 7. He's quite a remarkable horse, Native River. So I think Thistlecrack is the most likely winner, but I wouldn't be parting with my hard earned yet.
Okay. I'd still, if I was going to have a bet in the race now, I'd probably still back Q Card at 10-1.
10-1, yeah.
He's better at Cheltenham. He's better going left handed.
Would you agree with me as well, Mark? I don't think he ran his race last week.
No, I don't think. I think he tried to match Thistlecrack. He was rushed up too early. He's much better when you see him ridden patiently and gradually getting into the race.
Yeah.
We saw in the Gold Cup last year, he was rushed into 3 out and it cost him the race when he was coming to win the race, in my opinion. And similar again, trying to rush up against Thistlecrack, maybe just if they ride him a little bit more patiently, Cheltenham suits him better. I think 10-1 is I think he's a good each-way bet in the race.
He is. The only worry would be that Colin Tizard just threw in last week in a post-race interview that, Q Car could go to Ryanair.
Yeah.
He's a former Ryanair winner.
Yeah.
Given he's got the first two in the betting for the Gold Cup, might he go down the Ryanair route? Who knows? There's a long way to go, but that will be a slight worry. Although it won't be too long before we start going non-runner, no bet.
Yeah.
Will it?
Yeah,
we're in January now. I can't remember the exact date last year, but it won't be too long.
Yeah, maybe wait for that, yeah. What chance do Yanworth and Petit Mouchoir have in the champion hurdle?
Decent chances, you'd have to say, given what we've seen this year in the amongst the two-mile hurdling division.
It looked like it was going to be a real strong champion hurdle, didn't it? But it's... We haven't seen Annie Power yet. We haven't seen Forheen yet.
Well, that's just it. We haven't seen the two best two-mile hurdlers this season, which is a bit of a worry, isn't it? Annie Power was so good in winning it last year. Forheen, excellent in winning it 2 years ago, Mark. But we haven't seen Forheen now since 2015. Was it Sorry, he did run. He ran once in 2016. He won the Irish Champion Hurdle, beating Arctic Fire. So it's now coming up to a year since we've seen Faugheen, and we've had no word on when and where we might see him. Don't forget as well, whilst he's still lightly raced, he is now a 9-year-old Faugheen. Mm-hmm. Though how long his engine will remain intact, well, who knows? When we last saw him, he was excellent. He was as good as ever. But it's just a little bit of a concern, isn't it? And the fact we haven't seen Annie Power is a bit of a concern. It's interesting the way the betting is as well. Annie Power's 7-4, Faugheen 2-1. Going back to the original question, though, Yanworth Petit Mouchoir. I think Yanworth has to be the best of British, to speak. He's a young horse. He's improving. He beat the new one well last time out in the Christmas Hurdle. We know the new one was in excellent form because he'd won the International Hurdle the time before at Cheltenham. So he's a big contender, Yanworth, and he's already confirmed that he's a horse who likes Cheltenham. He's got a novice win to his name. He was second in the Neptune at the Cheltenham Festival last year. So there are plenty of ticks in the boxes for Yanworth. He's a very similar horse to Rock on Ruby.
Yeah.
Who had run in the Neptune. I think he got beaten in the Neptune as a young horse. He was second or third in the Neptune, but of course improved then to win a Champion Hurdle. York Hill could be the same.
Hmm. Yeah, it's not a bad comparison. Minar Altior or something else in the Racing Post article?
It has to be Altior for me. I saw both win over the Christmas period and both were foot perfect. But it's just the fact that Altior beat Min when it came to the crunch last time around. Okay, it was over hurdles, a different discipline to horses, to chase races. But he's looked even better over fences. He's,
yeah.
He was just a joy to watch around Kempton. And whilst he mightn't have the same presence as Sprinter Sacre, say, as yet, Sprinter Sacre was mightily impressive over fences, wasn't he? He was exuberant. This horse is very quick.
Yeah.
He gets from A to B and gets away from them very quick. He doesn't spend too much time in the air. He's not too flamboyant. He's just very, very good.
Mm.
And he's got a huge engine, so it would be Altior for me at this stage.
All right, Altior, who is 5-4 at the top of the market at the moment for the Arkle. Moving on to the next question. Plenty of Triumph sorts run over the Christmas period. Who do you like?
I still think it's a very foggy picture, the Triumph Hurdle. I mean, we've got the betting up in front of us now. Defi de Soy is the 6-1 favourite with us at William Hill. That's probably about right, given what we've seen on form. He's now a Grade 1 winner. He's won around Cheltenham.
Yep.
And he beat some decent horses in that finale last time out. His jumping was very erratic up the home straight. He was running down his hurdles to his left, but he was in front from quite a way out. And
yeah.
I would never get too critical of juvenile hurdlers at this stage of their career. There's still time for them to learn, Mark. They are, well, they're 4-year-olds now, but, you know, he was 3 at the time.
Yep.
And I wouldn't get too picky at Defi de Soy at this stage. We're likely to see him on trials day at Cheltenham, so that will give us another chance just to get to maybe confirm our opinion or change our opinion on the horse. Bopom, I thought, was good at Leopardstown, and I think he's probably number one in the pecking order for Willie Mullins. Although that said, Marie Davy looks at a filly with huge talent as well for the same yard. But Bopom was very professional in beating Land of Hope and Glory, and I think he could be open to most improvements. So I'll go with Bopom. Defi de Soy, though, I certainly wouldn't be ruling out. Marie Davy created a good impression, and as I say, it's still very, very murky, the Triumph Hurdle picture. We've seen it in recent seasons change at a later date than this, and I wouldn't be surprised if it did so again this year.
Yeah, it's always a race that keep your powder dry, really, until after trials day and see what emerges there.
That's it.
Vroom Vroom Mag is quoted for 6 festival races. What would you aim at?
I'd just like to have her in my yard. 6 festival races. That just shows how versatile she is, how good she is.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks as good over hurdles as she does over fences. In many ways, I don't feel sorry for her, but she's often regarded as the super sub, isn't she? She fills in where the others can't go,
yeah.
Which is a huge testament to her and her versatility. At this moment in time, and there are so many ifs and buts, but she won over 3 miles at Christmas. I'd probably go stay as hurdle route with her because it looks the easiest route.
Yeah, we not go back for the mares?
I think Annie Power will go mares.
You think so?
Yeah, if Faugheen goes champion.
So I thought maybe Faugheen would go stayers.
Yeah.
Annie Power champion, and Vroom Vroom Wagon end up in the mares or over fences.
Yeah, there's been talk of that, so I can see why you've mentioned it. Of course, Forheen won the Neptune over 2 mile 5 as a young horse. That was back in 2014, so 3 years ago.
Yeah.
He showed the stamina for that day.
With him being off for a while, maybe if he doesn't quite have that electric turn of foot anymore, he might just still have the engine to stay on.
You make a very good point that there are so many ifs and buts, but you ask me the question, I'll give you the answer. I'll go the stay as heard.
It's impossible to figure out anyway. I don't think Willie Mullins even knows yet.
So, no.
And he won't know until the day before some races. We've seen that with him in the past.
He might have an idea, but that idea will stay firmly in his mind.
Yeah. Last but not least, what's your New Year's resolution?
My New Year's resolution? I'm going to go for dry January anyway.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to go dry in January. I did it 2 years ago. It was the worst month of my life. For some reason, though, I've got a strange will to do it again. So, does that count as a resolution? I'm changing my ways anyway.
To complete a dry month, yeah, I suppose that does, yeah.
Yeah. And from a professional basis, we had 52 winners, flat winners, from our yard last year. It was a career best for Dad.
Yeah.
And the aim is most definitely to beat that.
Good New Year's resolution. Keep improving, make a better yourself. Make a better, that'll make sense. My New Year's resolution is to learn how to talk, by the sound of things. Right, let's move on from that. Let's get into Tuesday's racing then, because we've been waffling for long enough. Sean's going to look at four races for us on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, on to Tuesday then. We start at Bangorondi in the 115. We start here with a Class 4 handicap chase. 3 miles is the trip. 7 of them in the lineup, which makes it a little bit more tricky from an each-way angle, perhaps. But what do you make of the race, Sean?
The one I like here is definitely Pithivier for Ben Pauling, running in the colours of the Roonies. Adrian Heskin takes the ride. This horse hasn't had much racing in recent times, but made a pleasing reappearance after nearly a year off the track at Wetherby last time out. He finished third behind Acting Pieces. I think this race is a little bit easier. His trainer, Ben Pauling, has given him plenty of time to get over that 41 days, so there's less worry of the bounce factor, so to speak. He's a lightly raced horse in amongst some thoroughly exposed types. I think he'll win.
All right. Simple as that. Pithivier is the selection for Sean in the 115 at Bangor. Moving on to the next race we look at, which in chronological order is the 130 at Musselburgh, a Class 4 handicap chase. It's the Alex Donaldson Memorial Handicap Chase. Just short of 3 miles is the trip here. Again, 7 in the lineup, and I suppose a lot of people will be looking at Proud Gamble here, Sean.
Yes, Proud Gamble's horse who loves it here at Musselburgh. Seems to save his best for the track. He's won 2 out of his last 3 races at this course. Last time out, arguably posted a career best effort. I think this is going to need a career best effort yet again, though. Whether he's got it in him, I don't know. He's still seems to be improving, so I wouldn't rule it out entirely. But I might just prefer to look towards something that's maybe had less runs, or maybe towards the top of the weights, taking a drop in class. Of those, I thought that Golden Investment was interesting for Donald McCain and Brian Hughes. This horse has only had 3 starts in handicaps, 2 of them over fences his last 2 runs. He unseated his rider, which was unfortunate, at Ayr 2 starts back, but proved that he could jump over quite decent-sized obstacles last time out at Wetherby when finishing 3rd behind 2 Smoking Barrels in a similar race to this, a 0-120. I wouldn't be surprised to see him build on that. He'll get the tentative vote for me here.
Tentative view for Sean in the 130 at Musselburgh. Back to Bangor we go for the 145. This is a Class 4 Novices Limited Handicap Chase. 2 miles, 4 furlongs is the trip. We do have 8 of them at the time of 24-hour declarations, so hopefully we'll have a each-way shape to the race. What do you like in there, Sean?
This is wide open. I thought it was very difficult. The horse at the foot of the weights is On the Road, a horse who's really improved of late, Mark, for Evan Williams, although his winning spree came to an end at Sedgefield last time, and just whether the handicapper might have caught up with him, you'd question. Of the others, Trucker's Glory is a horse who I thought might have won 2 starts back at Chepstow. Interesting, though, that he's been wearing cheap pieces of late. Connections have got rid of the cheap pieces, have put the blinkers on him. Clearly, they just feel he's keeping a little bit up his sleeve, or he's just Not ungenuine, but might just need a little bit more encouragement in his races. And if the blinkers can have the desired effect, he's still a horse who's very lightly raced. He's only had the 5 starts since joining this yard. And 114 definitely looks workable for Truckers Glory. I probably go with him. Benzel is a horse who is starting to slip a little bit in the weights for John Drew O'Neill. I'd be interested to see if the money comes for him, but Truckers Glory certainly appears to be a little bit more consistent than Benzel.
Yeah, and the signs as well that the Rebecca Curtis Yard are going to start firing soon, isn't there? She's had a couple of winners recently, placed horses as well. So
yeah, a good winner at Cheltenham yesterday, I think Shantou Flyer.
Yeah, first half they had that as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, won a decent handicap, and they'd a winner on New Year's Eve in Potter's Cross at Newbury.
Yeah, let's move on to the final race. We look at then the 4:40 at Newcastle, bit of all weather action to finish. This is a Class 4 handicap over 7 furlongs on the all weather tapita at Newcastle. 12 of them to go to post here. Who do you want to start with in there, Sean?
I quite like no other here for Les Air, and I think this horse will be a fair price. He outran his odds last time out here at Newcastle to finish second behind Al Khan in what was quite a decent race. It's still fairly lightly raced, but he showed last time out that he's up to winning off this kind of mark. And that run tied in with a run at Musselburgh in September when he was second behind Roland Rory, who was certainly a horse who was on the improve at that stage, suggests he could have a pot like this in him. So he'll get the vote for me like no other. I think Roller is interesting. He won on his debut for Mick Easterby in maiden company here at Newcastle last time out. That was over a mile. Connections dropping back to 7 furlongs. He's been given an opening mark of 77. Is that workable? We'll soon find out. Televoy was a winner last time out around Chelmsford. He's going to need to improve, though, to win back-to-back races at the age of 9. That seems unlikely.
Yep.
Yeah, as I say, I'll stick with like no other.
Like no other then for Sean in the 4:40 at Newcastle. As usual, let's just have a quick summary before you go. Just relay your final selections for us then.
Yep, in the 1:15 at Bangor, a handicap chase, I'm going to go with Pithivier, who's still lightly raced and could improve on that recent Weatherby run. We then go to Musselburgh for their 1:30. I'm less keen on this race. I thought it was pretty trappy, but I'm going to go with Golden Investment, who's still fairly lightly raced for Donald McCain and his team, particularly over the larger obstacles. We then head back to Bangor, one of Donald McCain's local tracks, of course. I'm going to side with Truckers Glory, who's trained by Rebecca Curtis. This horse wears blinkers for the first time. They might just eke out a little bit of improvement and see him get back to winning ways. And then we head to Newcastle under the floodlights, likely at this stage, 4:40. And like no other, ran a cracker at this course last time out over this trip of 7 furlongs. I think he can go one better.
Superb. Pleasure to see you again, Sean. Good luck and enjoy on Tuesday.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Sean Quinn on Tuesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:20 PM. Myself, Mark Walton, Paddy Aspel and Andrew Mount in the studio for the meetings at Bangor, Musselburgh and Newcastle. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.